So if you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what, I don't think I've ever actually read an entire book of the Bible, well, you just did. So now you can't say that anymore. So Colossians chapter 1. Again, Colossians is one of my favorite books of the Bible. There's so much here for us to work through. So I'm excited as we journey through this together. So we're going to just for the next few minutes that we have, which is not a bunch of time, but for the next 10 minutes, I want us to look at chapter 1 and just pull out a few things that Paul is doing here in sort of his introduction, just sort of the introductory part of this letter to the church. So as is customary for Paul, he always starts out with some sort of thanksgiving and some sort of prayer for them. So he's going to say, these are the ways that I'm thankful for you, and this is the prayer that I have for you. So for the next few minutes, let's look at those two aspects of this. Let's look at the thanksgiving that he offers to the Lord for on their behalf, and then the prayer that he offers to them. So in verse 3, he says, I thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. So he's telling them three things that he is thankful for about them. He's thankful for their faith in Christ. He's thankful for their love for one another. And he's thankful for their hope in the gospel. You see this faith, hope, and love that is being displayed in this church. Now, this is a church that Paul, remember, he's never actually visited yet. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But what he's hearing is that the faith that is flowing out of them, their trust in the Lord, their love for one another and this new body of believers, and their hope that's anchored in the gospel, that is echoing out in the community. So people are beginning to hear, and the word is spreading, not just there in Colossae, but elsewhere throughout the whole world. And when he's talking about the whole world, I mean the whole known world at the time is hearing and seeing what God is doing through this local church. So it's echoing out. So what is Paul doing? So he's coming alongside this church to encourage them. Like, this is awesome. What God is doing in you is incredible. And so he's encouraging this new church and spurring them on in the Lord. Now, there are some things that he's going to need to correct, right? But what is he doing? He's doing it out of a heart of love for them. I've seen, and this absolutely breaks my heart. I've seen this over and over again. Every now and then you'll see a YouTube video pop up of a pastor just berating his congregation or standing up and you know, slamming somebody because of one thing or another. Or, you know, I can't believe it. And so like they just like, it's like they just chew up their own people and spit them out. And it absolutely breaks my heart, because that's not what a shepherd's called to do. So like when we see very clearly, and Paul is a great example of that, of how you can love and encourage and care for and shepherd the people of God, at the same time you can steer them and correct them and guide them and even rebuke them in a loving and caring in a caring way. We see it in 1 Peter 5 when he's talking to shepherds, and he tells them to care for the flock that's been entrusted to you, literally. So God has said, this is not your church, pastor. This is my church, and I've given them to you to care for, to love, to shepherd, and to steward them well. And so ultimately, we're going to be held accountable. And so following the example of the Apostle Paul, we as your shepherds are called to come alongside and love. And sometimes, yes, we have to correct. And sometimes you have to have unpleasant conversations. But it's all for the sake of the glory of God and for the benefit of our congregation and for the benefit of each person. But it absolutely breaks my heart when I see someone who's doing that and it's not done out of love. But I can say, church family, that we love you. And like Paul says here, like, we are thankful for you. We're thankful for the way that God is working in our church family. the way that we get to see people work. We just talked about this at the Fall Festival. There was 117 volunteers that stepped up to serve our community. Like, that's absolutely incredible. And then some of you, the way that you serve behind the scenes and the way that you care for others. And there's, like, I love hearing things after the fact that I had no clue were happening. Stories that come out of our Hope community groups, things that people are doing in kindness, meals that are being made for someone who's struggling, encouraging card that's sent in mail. Like, it's just so encouraging to hear. And so we are thankful for you, and we love you deeply. So Paul is thankful for this church and what's happening and how God is working. He mentions this verse in verse 7. He mentions this man named Epaphras. What's interesting about him is that most likely Epaphras got saved during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, and then he was sort of sent back to his home city, because remember at the end it said, Paul said, Epaphras, who is one of you, which means he was probably from Colossae, which means he hears the gospel and he believes and he takes it back to his people. And so he mentions Epaphras, and that's important in just a minute. Because now what Paul is going to transition to is he's going to transition to, here's my prayer for you. So I'm thankful to God for you. And now here is my prayer for you. So beginning in verse 9, he says, "And so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." So this is incredible. Paul's, again, he's not been there yet, but he's just heard. And so with the moment he heard, you know, hey, Paul, guess what? There's this church that's growing and loving and serving and faith anchored in the gospel. And well, where is it? It's in this place called, you know, Colossae. Well, we haven't been to Colossae. Well, I know, but there's a church there, and it's springing up, and God's work is being done. And so then he began from that moment to begin to pray and intercede for that church. I remember when years ago, when my brother was serving in Haiti, we went down there. Of course, we took several trips down there. One time we were there, and we were doing this little sort of pastor's encouragement conference, and there was a bunch of guys around a table, and these were guys who had just, they weren't necessarily seminary trained, but they had been saved, they'd been discipled, and been called and appointed to be pastors of these small little churches that were springing up. There was this one man named Joshua. And I'll never forget, he comes around the table and we're sharing around stories about things that the Lord is doing and how challenges they might be facing. And, you know, so one pastor shared a challenge that he was walking through and some different things. And this Joshua's turn, and he says, "Yeah, I've got an issue I'm just struggling with, and I need your help to know what to do." So we're like, "Okay, I don't know what it is, but we're ready. And he's like, "So here's the problem. So people are being saved every day. And we're having to, like, we're baptizing every chance that we get. And we have these people, and then this person started this Bible study in their home, which led to this person. And then their dad got saved, and they started one in their home." And he's like, "We had 10 new, like, churches started this week." And we were like, "What? How is that the problem? Like, what?" No, he was just like, "I don't know what to do." Like, literally, like, the spirit and the movement of God is happening so fast. And it was just incredible to see this man's heart. And, like, we were all just like, "Okay, let's just pray. Let's just pray, because the Spirit of God's working. And we don't have to, you know, have all the answers right now. We just need to say, okay, Lord, how can we step in? What can we do to help encourage the work that you're already doing?" And so, I mean, we just began to gather out there in that living room and just began to pray over these new believers and the churches that were getting started. But the work of God was spreading. Same way here. Even though Paul hadn't been there yet, the gospel is gone, people are being saved, the church is being built. And so he said, "I got this. This is my prayer for you." What does he say? He says, "I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So first thing he says, my prayer for you is that you might be filled with knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he's saying, I want you to know him, not just know things about him, but I want you to grow in intimacy with God, knowing him. And as a result of that, the closer that we get to him, the more clearly we get to hear his voice. And so he's saying, I want you to know him so that you can then discern and know what is the will of God for your life. Secondly, he said, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So God has called you graciously. He has set you apart. And now I want you to live in a way that is worthy of the calling to which he has called you. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to live in a manner worthy of the Lord? And it says, to be fully pleasing to him, to bear fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So he says, and what he's going to do now in this letter is kind of give tangible expressions of what that means. What does it mean? How does it look to live a pleasing life? Well, he's going to go in Colossians 3. He's going to say, put to death then whatever is earthly in you. And put on, so put off of these things. And then put on kindness and gentleness and bear with one another and forgive one another. He's going to lay those things out for us as we walk through in the next several weeks. That you would bear fruit, that the Spirit of God would produce these things in your life. Because in and of yourself, you can't do that. So the Spirit of God has to do that, the fruit of the Spirit in every good work that we commit ourselves to. And that you might increase in the knowledge of God. So I want you to know him, to get to know him, to press into him. Gather in community, commit yourself to the Word of God like we see in Acts chapter 2. Devote yourself to the Word. Three, that you might be strengthened with all power according to his might, according to God's power. So why are they going to need that? Well, life's not easy, especially in this time. I mean, there was persecution was coming, false teaching was coming, it was difficult. It would have been easy to just leave this behind and go on back to what you were doing before. And so he says, I'm praying that you would be strengthened, but not just pulling yourselves up, but you'd be strengthened with the power that can only come from our Lord. So he's again, I'm praying that you would have endurance and patience with joy to endure and walk through the things that are coming your way, because they're coming. The same way for us today. We need the strength that comes from the Lord, because things aren't easy. And there's things I know right now that you're walking through because I've talked to you. I know some things that you're wrestling with, the hurts that you kind of have hiding beneath the surface, the challenges, the anxieties, the fears, the difficulty. I understand those things that you're walking through. And so we need, through the power of God's word, the strength that comes from him to build us up so that we can continue. And then he says, I want to see, finally, that you have hearts that are full of thanksgiving to the Father. So his prayer is that we would have hearts that are full of thankfulness. Well, what has the Father done? What has the Father done for us? And then he lays them out. He says, thanksgiving of the Father who has qualified you. There's nothing that we did to, we just got done with our salvation series, right? Where we talked about what it means to be born again. It's nothing that we thought up. It's nothing that we worked for. It's nothing that we deserved, and it's nothing that we earned. It was fully the grace of God that he poured out and lavished on us in Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, he is the one who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. So again, even here speaking to Gentiles who have been now brought in, is like, you didn't earn that. You didn't deserve that. It's the gracious gift of God. And he is the one who has qualified you. He has delivered you from the dominion of darkness. He's delivered you. He has what? He has transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has redeemed you and he has forgiven you. So if you want to think through, okay, today in my prayer time, I want to thank the Lord for some of the things that he has done. What has he done? He has qualified you. He has delivered you. He has transformed you. He has redeemed you. He has forgiven you. And we could spend the rest of eternity just thanking him for what he has done for us. So I read this prayer that Paul has for the church. And I tell you what, sometimes I'm just convicted by my own prayers. So as I think through the way that I pray for my family, as the way that I pray for this church family, I think sometimes, you know, my prayers are, you know, bless them, Lord, help them. And I look at the prayer like this that Paul has that pours out of him. These are the things that he desires for his people. Do we pray that way for one another? Dads, do we pray this like this for our family? Like actually thoughtful, just pleadings to the Lord to work in your wife and your children. Wives, do you pray that for your children, for your family? Families, do we, brothers and sisters, do we pray for one another? Do we see one another who's struggling? Do we come alongside them? Do we pray and intercede for them? That's the calling that we have as his people. So we have here, just in Paul's introduction, this is just the introduction. We're just getting started. This is like his greeting. He hasn't even gotten to the content yet. And so far, we're diving into the redeeming hand and the work of God. We're diving into the fruit of obedience and the work of the Holy Spirit. Like this is awesome stuff that's happening. But it's not just something that happened back then, 2,000 years ago. It's something that God still desires to do and is still doing in the church today. And so our desire is to be a church like the church in Colossae. The church that would say, okay, we are going to press deeply into the Word of God. We are going to be led by the Spirit of God. We're going to be empowered by the might and the strength of God to be all that He has called us to be here with one another and then outside this church in the community that He has placed us in and then ultimately throughout the world. So that my prayer would be that the testimony here, when people would hear, they would say, you remember that church, I don't know what it's called, it doesn't even matter the name of it, but I know that there's a people of God that are gathered there and they love one another. They're anchored in the gospel and God's Spirit is moving in such an incredible way that I want a piece of what's happening there. And that's our desire, that's our prayer to see that happen right here at Hope Valley Church. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the chance to walk through your scriptures together. Lord, our desire is to not just read something, but to be changed by it. And Lord, as we seek to submit ourselves under your authority, Lord, would you help us to be your church, to be your saints, your faithful ones here in the New River Valley. Would you help us, Lord, when we face temptations, when we face struggles of various kinds, would you empower, would you strengthen, would you build up and encourage? And so, Lord, right now, I don't know exactly what's happening in every single person, but you know completely and fully. And so, Lord, I pray that even now, through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts? Would you bring peace where there's anxiety? Lord, would you bring light where there's been darkness? Would you bring hope where there's been hopelessness? And Lord, I pray that through the power of the gospel, there'd be someone here today who is lost. And Lord, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, with all our hearts, we desire to be a faithful church, your faithful bride. And so we start with confession, repentance. Lord, would you work in us to change us more and more into your image? Lord Jesus, you are truly sufficient. Everything that we need is found in you. And so as we look through this passage and we celebrate your sufficiency, as we celebrate that you are all that we need, would you help us to live and rest there? And our identity is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.